says this, Matthew chapter 6, starting with verse 9. Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also forgive, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Can we pray one more time this morning? Father, we love you. God, we thank you for your word. It is a lamp to our feet, a light into our path. Lord, I pray, Lord, that your word will transform us today. Lord, we know that your word is God-breathed. It is useful for teaching, correcting, rebuking, and training in righteousness. Lord, I pray that you would instill all those principles in our heart today, Lord, that it will teach us, Lord, and correct us as need be, and train us, Father, to be righteous this morning. God, I pray each one of our hearts will be challenged today, and each one of us will leave changed by your word today. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I would venture to say that most of us, most people, focus on prayer only as a response to what it can do for them. How many of you guys think that's true? Most people say, I pray when I need something. I don't pray every day. I pray when, something happens. Tragedy happens. Oh, we got to pray. Meaning most people pray only when they have a need that needs to be met. And prayer, more than ever, has become a means to an end. And that end is usually a selfish one. Oh, God, I need a new car. Just bless me with a new car. Bless me with a new house. Oh, bless my family. Bless me. Touch me. Help me. We treat prayer kind of like a spiritual parachute, right? You're glad it's there, but you don't really ever want to have to use it. You'd rather be able to just to do things on your own. We tend to treat prayer with the perspective that it's primarily about us instead of primarily about God. See, but when we look at what Jesus is teaching as we're going through this Lord's Prayer, which is our model, which is our template of how we're supposed to pray, we come to the realization pretty quickly that prayer is never primarily about us. That we always take second place to God. That the priority in prayer is never placed in our needs, but rather on our ability to commune with God and our ability to glorify God. So as we dig into this next part of the prayer today, I hope that you come to the realization that if we never ever get anything out of prayer, if we never get anything else out of prayer rather than the ability just to fellowship with God, that in each one of our lives, that would be sufficient enough for us. That if we pray to God and he never answers our needs, the ability just to pray to God and have fellowship with God would be sufficient in our lives. You see, prayer gives us the privilege to have a relationship with the Father. Prayer gives us the ability to see God's glory on display. Prayer is the vehicle which God often uses to demonstrate his love to us. It's the vehicle in which he demonstrates who he is. Prayer is for you to admire God. It's for you to be impressed with how amazing God is. Much more than trying to impress God with how awesome you are, right? You don't pray because you want God to think you're holy. You don't pray because you don't want God to do something. You don't pray because you want God to give something to you. You pray to allow God to be on display. That's the primary focus of God. That's why Jesus said, whatever you ask in my name, this will I do. That what? That the Father may be glorified in the Son. Why will God hear your prayer? Why will God answer your prayer so that the Father may be glorified? That's so important for us to understand. The reason why God answers our prayers, the reason why God hears our prayers is so that he can receive glory, so that he can receive honor. Prayer is always, first and foremost, a recognition of God's glory and an act of submission to God's glory. All of our petitions, all of our passions, all of our requests, all of our needs, all of our trials, all of our problems are all subject to God's glory first. I mean, think about it. Listen to the prayer. Hallowed be your name, verse 9. Your kingdom come, verse 10. Your will be done, verse 11. It's His name. It's His kingdom. It's His will. All before we get to verse 11. Right? All before we get to verse 11, it says, give us our daily. Verse 12, forgive us. Verse 13, lead us. The giving and the forgiving and the leading only comes after God is in God's place is set as the highest priority. Prayer has a primary purpose of uplifting God. The placing of God in His rightful place, revealing who He is, revealing His majesty, revealing His glory, revealing His sovereign will in our lives. So when we bring all these other items, all these other needs, all these things we pray for, when we get that right, then it brings all that into alignment with who God really is. Prayer is primarily for God. And this whole model of prayer, which Jesus lays out for us, focuses on God first. We got to get that part right first. That prayer is never about us first. Prayer is primarily always about God. It's always about giving glory to God and giving honor to God and praising God and lifting God up and declaring Him worthy. Long before it's ever about, oh God, bless me. Oh God, touch me. Oh God, heal me. That's where all the people in Jesus' time, where they had lost it. That's where they had messed up. See, for the Pharisees and for the scribes and for these Jewish people who were following their teaching, they had taken prayer from what God had intended it to be as a vehicle to display His glory, and then made it into some sort of man-made perverted exercise by which they would draw the attention on themselves. They used their prayers hypocritically to show how spiritual they were, to make people think, oh, look at me, look how spiritual I am. Oh, look how glorified my prayers are. Oh, listen to me, I can pray so well. Oh, listen to how I speak. Listen to the language I use. Oh, listen to all these big church words. They assumed that their prayers, assumed in their prayers that they were informing God of things that He did not know already. At least that's what Jesus implies in our text before, And they would actually go into repetition, vain repetition, like the heathens did. They would badger God, thinking that they could badger God into giving them what they want. Like a child at a grocery store, constantly hounding their parents for candy. Can I just get candy? Can I just get this? 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 If you just hound God enough, if we just badger Him enough, eventually He has to give in. They had created a kind of prayer that was so illegitimate, a prayer that was so perverted, it was so substandard, and it was so lacking of Scripture. It wasn't even scriptural, the way they prayed. And so Jesus is confronting them here. That's what the Lord's Prayer is about, is Jesus confronting all these Pharisees and scribes and all these Jewish people following this teaching and saying, listen, you're messed up. You're doing it wrong. So He comes with this prayer template. We call it the Lord's Prayer, this template to set the record straight. This is how you pray. So Jesus breaks down this prayer. We talked about the first part last week, which we call the paternity of prayer. We talked about the first thing we recognize is the implications that God is our Father. He is our Father. The Aramaic word that we talked about was the word what? Abba. It means Papa. It means Daddy. There's a sense of intimacy that comes along with it. There's a sense of personal warmth and comfort that He's wrapping His arms around us. There's a sense of family as a child hugs their father and as a father hugs their child. God is not some distant being. That's the way they like to think of Him. But He's not. He's not some sort of cruel, immoral being stepping on those who are supposed to be His subjects. No, He is a loving, caring, tender Father. who loves each and every one of us. And at his disposal is all the treasures of heaven so that his name may be glorified. So when we say our Father, that means that God hears us and that he cares about us. And when we say our Father in heaven, it means not only that he cares, but he has all of heaven's resources on his side. He has unlimited eternal resources to reach out and to show how much he cares about us. He is our Father in heaven, our God. He is a loving Father, and that's where prayer begins. That's what we talked about last week. That all prayer begins with a God who cares for us and loves us and wants to wrap his arms around us. And when you go to pray, you start by recognizing how much God cares about you. And that brings us to our second point today. Brings us to our second phrase, hallowed be your name. We're talking about the priority of prayer this morning. And this is what it means to be for God. Hallowed be your name. Holy is your name. It means to set God apart. To set apart God's name and to call it sacred, to call it holy. See, in the ancient world, a person's name revealed the very essence of who they were. It speaks of the priority of God in our prayers. That hallowed be your name places God as a top priority in our prayers. Even though he's our loving Father, even though he cares about us and he wants to meet our needs, and even though he has all these heavenly resources at his disposal, our first request is never on our own behalf. It's always on him. Hallowed be your name. Holy is your name. It's a warning against the selfishness that can come about in our lives. It places God as the highest priority in our prayers. Hallowed be your name. Do you guys understand what that means? I mean, it's a pretty phenomenal phrase when you break it down. Hallowed be your name. Jesus is saying to all these people, hallowed be your name. Holy is the name of God. I mean, he's saying something here that's so rich for us to understand. He's saying something that's so full for us to understand. If we can just grab a hold of this and understand all that this encompasses, it encompasses all of God's nature, all of God's abilities, all of God's attributes, and all of man's response to that. It isn't some casual bit of religious routine. This is just something we do. Oh, this is just something we say every time we pray. Like we pray for our meals and we say the same thing each and every time. How many of you guys say the same thing for dinner meals? How many of you guys teach your kids this is how we pray? God's good, God's great, and we thank him for our food, something like that. It's not some religious routine. It's not just reciting some words that are nice thoughts about God. It's so much more than that. It opens up this whole new level, this whole new dimension of respect and this whole new level of reverence towards God and this whole new level, this whole new think of how awesome God is and how appreciative he is and it brings this whole idea, this whole new dimension of honor and glory and adoration and worship to God, worship for God, worship that's about God. Holy is your name. I mean, that's the concept of the name. You see that your name. It's not restricted to just a title. I mean, today we think of someone's name. That's really all it is, right? I mean, everyone has a name, but no one really thinks about it. My name means, you know, anybody know what my name means? It means famous German ruler. That certainly hasn't come true yet. Fingers crossed, one day. But see, that name really means nothing to me. And I imagine your name probably really means nothing to you. And there's lots of people in the world with my same name. A lot of people in the world who are named Rod, who are named Roderick. And I imagine they're all walking around and not one of them is thinking, oh, I'm going to be a famous German ruler one day. See, names really mean nothing to us. We don't We could really care less about what a name means most of the time. But if we think back to the Old Testament, we think about the first century Jewish people who Jesus is thinking about. A name meant something to the Hebrews in the first century. See, the Jews had such a sacredness attached to God's name that they had really gone overboard with this. Many guys know this, but they were so concerned about the word, which was God's name, they actually wouldn't even say it anymore. I mean, they would continue to dishonor who God is, but they wouldn't say his name. I mean, that's pretty amazing that they would dishonor the person of who God is, that they would disobey his word without even thinking twice. They would destroy his truths without even thinking about it. But when it came to his name, they wouldn't even say his name. They would never hallow his name. They would never say, holy is the Lord. Just that name itself, they never said. The letters that made up his name, they would never say it. For example, in the Old Testament, we see the word Jehovah all over the place, right? The crazy thing is there's no such word as Jehovah in Hebrew. It's a made-up word. Although it appears throughout the Old Testament, that word doesn't exist. There's no such word as Jehovah. You say, well, where did it come from? You see, the name of God in Exodus is what? I am that I am, right? I am the great I am. It's where we get the word Yahweh from. The other familiar name of God is Adonai. God's heard of Adonai? It means Lord. So for someone to say Lord God, they would say Yahweh Adonai. He is Yahweh Adonai. Now the Jew didn't want to say that because that name was too sacred. He held the name of God too sacred, so he would never say that name. He wanted to hold the name of God sacred, so he reduced it down to, he reduced it down to just the name. Not his will, not his person, just the name. The name is sacred. Those letters are sacred. In fact, even today, if you go into Jewish Orthodox circles and you were to go up to them and you were to say the name Yahweh, there's a chance that they would stone you even today. They hold the name that sacred. So what they do? They took the consonants out of the word Yahweh and they took the vowels out of the word Adonai and they put them together and they jumbled it up and they came up with this word Jehovah, which is really a non-word. They made it up so that they wouldn't have to say the real name of God. But it was all superficial. Because while they were so careful not saying the name, they continued to blaspheme who he really was. They continued to blaspheme his character. So when Jesus comes here and he says this phrase, hallowed be your name. Holy is your name. He said, we respect God not only for who he is, but we respect God for who he is, not just his name, but his entire being. That it's an all-encompassing concept. Holy is your name. See, in biblical times, a name was more than just a title. Right? Think about people in the Bible. Think about David in the Bible, 1 Samuel 18:30, talking about David. He says this, then the commanders of the Philistines came out to battle, and as often as they came out, David had more success than all the servants of Saul. That David had developed this great reputation as being mightier, as being better, as having more success than Saul, more success than all of the other servants. And so it said this, David had more success than all of the servants of Saul, so that his name was highly esteemed. Now, they weren't esteeming the letters in his name, right? No one would say, oh, they sure did esteem those five letters. Woo, think about that D. That D is pretty powerful right there. Right? His name being esteemed meant that who he was, who he stood for. His name was being esteemed. It's like saying, man, Johnny sure didn't make a name for himself. Right? Or, oh, Michelle's such a good name, has such a good name. Just kidding. What? What do we mean? We mean that when we say stuff like that, that there's something about their character. There's something about their life that's saying you know, they are worthy to be praised. Oh, there's something good about that person. Something in that name. So the name stood for the whole character of who that person was being revealed. The name was the personal character of an individual. So let's see now. Let's see this as God on display. Exodus chapter 33 and 34. Israel had been parked for a while. They had been camping out. God comes to Moses and says, oh, all right, listen, it's time to move on. It's time to get it back on the road yet. And God says, listen, you're going to go up and you're going to face the Canaanites and the Amorites and the Hittites and all the otherites. They're going to come against you. So Moses said, listen, God, we'll go if you say to go, but listen, we're not going anywhere unless we know that you're going with us. So he says, God, listen, we got to know that you're here with us. So God, Lord, I need to see. Lord, I need to see your glory. God, let me see your glory. And God says, listen, Moses, you can't see my face because that's too powerful for you, but I'll let you see my backside. So God let Moses see his glory and know that God was going forth with them. And then he says this in Exodus 34, verse 5. It says, the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with them and proclaimed the name of the Lord. So the Lord comes down and he proclaims his name. And then he says this in verse 6, the Lord passed before him and proclaimed. Now, what's he proclaiming? The name of the Lord. He's getting ready to tell us what that means. What does it mean to say, I'm proclaiming the name of the Lord? He's about to tell us what it means when it says, proclaim the Lord. He says this, the Lord passed down before him and proclaimed, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, but who will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation. God says, I will proclaim my name. And here's my name. My name is merciful. My name is gracious. My name is long-suffering. My name is abundant in goodness. My name keeps mercy. My name forgives iniquity. In other words, the name of God composites all of his attributes. Holy is his name. Speaks of trusting in God in terms of all of his character, trusting God in terms of all of his nature, all of his attributes, saying, holy are you, Lord. Holy is your name. Psalm 9:10 says this, those who know your name put their trust in you. Those who really understand who God's character is, they put their trust in him. When you look through Psalms, you see it's repeated over and over again. Psalm 7:17, I will give to the Lord the thanks due to his righteousness, and I will sing praise to the name of the Lord the Most High, the name being all that he is. Psalm 102:15 says, the nation will fear the name of the Lord. Not those four letters. They fear the embodiment of all who God is. Psalm 113:1, I love this. Praise the Lord. Praise, O servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Now listen to this. Blessed be the name of the Lord from the rising of the sun until its setting. The name of the Lord is to be praised. The Lord is high above all nations and his glory above the heavens. Who is like the Lord our God? In other words, all that he is, every part, every attribute of his name is to be praised. That's so powerful. But the whole key to understanding this concept is found in John 17. This is amazing. Listen to what Jesus says. This brings it all full circle to us. Jesus, in John 17, verse 6, Jesus said, I have manifested your name to the people whom you gave me out of the world. Jesus said, I have manifested your name. What did that mean? It means Jesus was the complete revelation of who God is. Through Jesus, he has revealed the Father. That's why I said in John 1:14, it says in John 1:14, and the Word became flesh and it dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. In other words, he manifested God. Love this. He says to Philip, He says, how long have you been with me and you still don't understand? Philip, whoever has seen me has seen the Father. Jesus is the full embodiment of the name of God. He is the manifestation of who God is and human disclosure of all of who God is manifested in Jesus Christ. That's what that name means. And so it's not just a title. It's so much more than that. It's the total of who he is. It's the whole person of who God is. Putting in plain terms, when we speak of God, when we say, holy is your name, this is what we're saying. We're saying, holy is your person. Holy is your identity. Holy is your character. Holy is your nature. Holy is your attributes. Holy is your reputation. That you, your very being is holy. Now, the very names of God in the Bible, and there's lots of names of God. How many guys ever looked for the Bible, saw all the names of God? They help us to understand this. God's given so many names. Each of his names expresses some part of his character. For example, God in Genesis 1, verse 1, the third word in the Bible is the word what? Elohim. Means in the beginning, God. Elohim is the creator God. In the word Elohim, we see all of God's creation. He is holy because he is our creator. The Bible calls him El Elyon. Genesis 14, 18, 19, this is what it says. Blessed be Abraham of the Most High God, El Elyon, possessor of heaven and earth. He is the creator God. He is the possessor God. He is the sovereign ruler over all the universe, over all creation. That's who God is. His name revealed to Israel the different characteristics of his nature. There's 8 different compound names that God has given in the Old Testament to describe him. There's Yahweh Tidiskunu. Means the Lord is righteous. That all of our attempts to stand in right standing with God are futile. That our righteousness is as filthy rags. That we cannot on our own save ourselves. But the Lord, our righteousness. Christ has become our righteousness by dying on the cross. See, all these Old Testament terms, they all point back to Jesus. That we trust in the finished work of Christ on the cross. And as we do, we receive right standing in God's sight. And we become heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. So we continually praise God because he has become our righteousness. He is Yahweh Kadesh, the Lord our sanctifier. And sanctification quite simply means it's the process of becoming more like Christ. It's a process of putting to death our sinful tendencies and our sinful desires of the old nature. That we've been empowered through the Holy Spirit to be able to overcome sin, to be able to overcome all temptation. Why? Because he is Yahweh Kadesh, the Lord, our sanctifier. So we praise God. We thank God because he is our sanctifier and he provides that sanctifying power in our life. Now that he is Yahweh Shema, the Lord is ever present, that God is always with us no matter where we go or no matter what we do. Jesus promised that he will never leave us, that he will never forsake us, that you can't hide from God's presence because he is everywhere in our lives. The psalmist praised God that even in the depths of hell, God is present. He is Yahweh Shema. He is also Yahweh Shalom, the Lord our peace. That there is no controversy between God and me. That his wrath has been heaped upon Jesus. And now there's peace between us because of that. So because there's peace, I can rejoice with God. And I can be exceedingly glad in my life. And in the midst of the fiercest storm in all that life, I don't have to fear because the Lord is my peace. He is Yahweh Shalom. When everyone else around me is losing their minds and flipping out and wondering, oh, what are we going to do? Disaster is coming. I praise God because he is my peace. He is Yahweh Shalom. He is Yahweh Rapha, the Lord our healer. That God declares to Israel, I am the God that healeth thee. I am the Lord your healer. Sent your word and healed my disease. And we praise God because he has healed us from sin. He's healed us from all of our addictions. He's healed us from our brokenness. He heals us from our pain. He heals us from our discouragement. He heals us from our depression. And he heals us from our afflictions. And he heals us from our disease. He is also Yahweh Nissi, the Lord our banner. In the Old Testament, the banner, the flag was flowing to signify a sign of God's deliverance, of God's salvation. Jesus has triumphed gloriously over the enemies of our soul, enemy of our soul. He has fatally bruised the head of the serpent, and he has made us more than conquerors. He is Yahweh Nissi, and we praise God for his mighty victory over the enemy. We praise him that he's with us through every challenge that comes our way. He is Yahweh Jireh, the Lord our provider. This name expresses the provision of the Father for his children, that he meets all of our needs and he aligns our heart to be in alignment with his heart, and he gives us our heart's desires. Why? Because he is our provider. He is Yahweh Jireh, and he is Yahweh Ra, the Lord our shepherd. And this name means the expression of God's continual care and protection. Because he is our shepherd, we shall not want. He leads us and he guides us and he protects us from being devoured. So we praise him. We thank him for his care, for watching us. He is a good shepherd. He never forgets about the one left behind. All these names speak of his attributes. The Bible calls him by so many names. It's showing the fullness of who he is. But the greatest name God ever took, the greatest name by which God has ever been designated in the history of the world, is the name Jesus Christ. It means Lord, Savior, King. He is our Lord Jesus Christ. And through Lord Jesus Christ, he's revealed so many other names to us. He is the bread of life. He is the living water. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is my Redeemer. He is the resurrection. He is the good shepherd. He is the branch. He is the bright and morning star. He is the Lamb of God. And so on and so on. There's so many attributes speaking of God. So many attributes who tell us who he is. And when we speak of God and we speak of his name, we're not just saying some title. Oh, holy is your name. Oh, that's your title. Oh, you're God. That's it. No, it speaks so much more of who he is. We're talking, when we say that, say holy is the Lord, we're speaking of the fullness of all that he is. It's Isaiah 9, unto us a child is born, a son is given, the government shall be upon his shoulder, his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. All designations of his nature, of his character, of who he is, That's why Romans 1:5 says, through him we have received grace. Through him we have received apostleship to call all the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith for his name's sake. 3 John 7 says that we sent out preachers to preach for the sake of his name. That when we preach the gospel, when we go in all the world and we share our faith, people come to Jesus not because we're some great orators, not because we say things right at the time. No, they come to Jesus because of his name, because of who he is, because of all that God is. It draws men, it draws women into him. And so we don't have to worry about having the right words or feeling confident enough or making sure we say the right thing, make sure we have the right track with us, or make sure we have, you know, we have the right thing, make sure we have that card. Oh, this is the bridge of Christ. If you just come here, you're over here, here and over here. But see, God put this bridge in between. It's Jesus. He comes in. We don't have to worry about that. Why? Because it's not about us. It's not some about man-made thing. It is our Lord, our God. It is the name of Jesus that draws men and women to Christ. It's not just a title. That's why we sing that song, Redeemer, my healer, Lord Almighty, oh, defender, my savior, you are my king. Oh, Jesus, worthy is the lamb who was slain. He is the Lord our God. And there is power in the name of Jesus. That's why when we worship, when we sing songs like that, it should mean something more to us. We should jump out of our seats. We should be so excited because when we say there's power in the name of Jesus, there is really power to change our lives. There's power to change our situations because in that name, all the attributes of his character, of his nature, of who he is, transform every part of our lives. There is power in his name. The name of Jesus. It's the name of Jesus that brings us to the cross. It's Jesus who takes upon himself all of our sins. It's Jesus who brings our salvation through his death and through his resurrection. It's through Jesus that we find liberty and freedom and peace and joy and long-suffering and hope and life. It's in the name of Jesus. It's the name of Jesus that allows us to enter into the very presence of a holy God. And have that same desire to be holy also. That same desire to have for that holiness to be in our lives. That's why Jesus said, be holy because I am holy. We are to be holy because Jesus is holy. That we are to be like Jesus. Jesus is already holy. We should strive to be like him. All of his character, all of his nature, his loving, tender, caring, loving, loveness. I don't know what that means. That's who Jesus is. That's who God is. Holy is your name. And so when we pray like this, our Father in heaven, our Father, oh, you love us and you care for us. Oh, God, you supply each and every one of our needs. Oh, holy is your name. Holy is your person. Holy is your identity. Holy is your character. Holy is your nature. Holy is your attributes. Holy is your reputation. Oh, God, your very being is holy. That's what we think about when we pray. That's the priority in our prayer. That it never starts with us. It's never about us. It's never about oh, I need to come to God because I lost my job this week. So we wonder why our prayers aren't answered sometimes. Maybe, just maybe, it's because we're not putting God in his proper place first. That our prayers are so selfish, so self-centered that they don't give God all the glory that he deserves. And when that prayer is answered, when God says, oh yeah, I'm gonna reach down and answer that prayer, we don't give glory to God first. We just pass it along like, oh, something, oh God, I'm out of job, give me a job, and oh, you get a new job. But do we ever say, oh, thank you, Lord, for this job? Oh, we give you the glory because you provide this need. You open that door. car broke down. Oh, I was able to get it fixed. Holy is your name. Holy is the name that is the Lord Jesus Christ. That is God our Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, three in one, all coming together that we might glorify them and lift them up and praise them for who they are. He is worthy. Can we pray this morning? Father, we love you. We glorify you, God. We thank you, Lord, as we're thinking about it, as we're working through the Lord's Prayer, Father, Lord, I pray that it's stirring our hearts. Father, we look to you first and we say, you are our Abba, you are our Daddy, you are our Papa. We thank you because you care for us and you look out for us, God, and it's your desire to take care of us and supply the needs that we have, not our selfish own desires and needs, but God, what you seem fit to take care of us with, Lord, that Lord, you always provide. And so, Lord, this morning we come to you and we say, holy is your name. Holy is all who you are. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that you are our sanctifier. Lord, that through you help us to become more like your Son, Jesus Christ. You're putting away that sin in our lives and those temptations, Lord. You're pulling us away from those temptations that we can be holy like you, Father. That we can strive for that holiness just like you. Lord, we thank you that you are always with us no matter what. That you never leave us, never forsake us. God, that you are our peace. God, that when all the world falls down around us, Lord, that we can come to you, Father, and you give us peace. Lord, we thank you because you are our healer. Lord, we trust in you, Father, to heal every disease. For you are the God that heals us. Lord, you are our banner. You're the flag that we raise up as a sign of the salvation that only you could bring. Lord, we thank you for your Son who triumphed gloriously over sin and death and hell and the grave. That we can live in freedom today, live to be more than conquerors. We thank you that you are our provider. That you take care of each and every need. Lord, when we align our hearts with your heart, Father, you always give us the desires of our own heart, Father, when they are aligned with you. Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you, Lord. Lord, you are our shepherd. You always take care of us. You always protect us. You always put that desire in our heart to go out and reach the lost, reach those who need you. You are our righteousness. Father, you are righteousness. Lord, you help us realize that we cannot save ourselves. It's only through Christ our Lord that we can find salvation today. So we thank you for that. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I pray today, Lord, as we think about your righteousness and we think about the need of your Son to die on that cross, Lord, that we can live in freedom today. Lord, I pray today for any person here who does not know you, who is far from you, who is not in a right relationship with you. Maybe they're on the fence. Maybe they're living for you on Sundays, but the rest of the week they're really living for themselves. Lord, I pray today, that you would stir their hearts, God, that you would move their hearts right now to repent of their sins. Father, for the righteous can never be found in themselves, but it only can be found through your Son, Jesus Christ. So I pray today for every person in here, God, that you stir each one of our hearts to run to you, to call upon your name, Lord, to ask for forgiveness and to find salvation that only comes through you, Jesus. Lord, I thank you for being with us. God, I thank you for moving us. God, I thank you that your word challenges us, causes us to grow. Father, Lord, I pray today for every person here. God, Lord, that your blessing would be upon them. Lord, that this week, as we're discovering more of your word, we're discovering more of your prayer, God, that our hearts would deepen even more to be great prayer warriors, God, ones that are constantly seeking you, constantly looking for you, looking to you, Father. Lord, we love you. Lord, I pray blessing on each person's life. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, thank you guys so much for coming today. I love you all so much. Hey, don't forget to fill out those forms if you didn't fill one out. We love to have that. We want to actually get a new database going and kind of get everything updated and work through that process. And this will help us out tremendously.